Mardeen Isaac is in London with A Demand for Action. That's a group that monitors the ISIS threat against minorities. Now, I know your group and the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights have been collecting information from various sources in Syria about this terrible incident. What are you hearing from villagers on the ground in Syria? When and how did these kidnappings actually happen?
Yesterday, that's Monday, the 23rd of February, between 5 and 6 a.m., Islamic State militants staged an incursion into the Assyrian villages along the Khabur River, which is in northeast Syria between Hasaka and the Turkish border. It was a raid with a mixed purpose, the instigation of terror, which is a general principle of the group, of course, and also the abduction of hostages, which so far it appears are exclusively male. So the group entered these villages to the south of the Khabur River, which are now empty. The women and children who could flee fled. A few of the men who had arms defended the village to allow them to flee. But in villages such as Tal Shamiram, for instance, the men of Tal Shamiram were taken to the Abdelaziz mountain, where they're now being held as hostages. And the Islamic State is demanding a prisoner exchange involving the release of their own captive militants being held by Kurdish forces. And around 3,000 people at least fled the villages to the relative safety of Hasaka and Qamishli.
The people who were targeted were Assyrians. And aside from observing Christianity, tell us who the Assyrians are and who they're allied with right now.
Who they are an ethnic group indigenous to southeast Turkey, northern Iraq, northwest Iran, northeast Syria, that contiguous region. They have inhabited the Middle East since the origin of the Middle East. Their language is rooted in the great languages of the Fertile Crescent, Aramaic and Akkadian. They have their own cultural practices, and they're a distinct ethnicity in every sense of the word. Over the last 100 years plus, they've been the victims of the convulsions in the region involving redrawing of borders, ethnic cleansing. They've been squeezed between conflicts between the larger groups, and they've basically existed in a state of permanent insecurity.
Which apparently continues to this day.
Which continues to this day. And just to illustrate this point, the Assyrians who inhabit these 34 villages on the Khabur River arrived in northeast Syria from Iraq. Now, they arrived in Iraq from Turkey. Now, these states didn't exist at the time. They were coming into being. They were nascent entities. In 1915, Turks and Kurds, seeking to create an ethno-religiously pure state, staged a genocide against the Assyrians on the southeastern periphery of the Turkish, of the emerging or expanding Turkish state. From there, the Assyrians went to what was then Iraq. So they crossed, or they didn't cross the border, but they went south into northern, what is now northern Iraq. From there, they were persecuted again in 1933. So they were kicked out of Iraq forcibly by the Iraqi army, and that was used as a demonstration of the strength of the Iraqi state. So those Assyrians then settled across the border in Syria.
And why are they being targeted by ISIS extremists?
I guess generally speaking, ISIS targets anyone who isn't ISIS. In the case of Christians, of course, they don't, it goes without saying, they don't value Christians as equals. They want to subjugate Christians or expel Christians, as they've done in northern Iraq. ISIS, their predecessors and groups who share their ideology, have been persecuting, extorting, harassing, murdering, kidnapping Christians of all kinds in the Middle East since 2003 in Iraq and over the last 4 years in Syria. Now, in some cases, of course, they claim that it's because Christians are quote-unquote crusaders or that they're loyal to certain regimes. But of course, as the conflict becomes more radicalized and divisions are more sharply drawn, and the need for money increases and so on, all these factors come into play.
Well, there was one military observer who suggested that ISIS has had a string of losses, so they are waging attacks to secure new areas, a kind of sense of desperation. Do you agree with that?
No. I mean, it's too difficult to discern a general trend, I would say, in the military success or defeat of ISIS. And it's too easy to jump to conclusions that a certain momentum is gathering. Their belligerence is omnidirectional, so they're potentially attacking on all fronts at all times, even though at certain points they might stage an incursion into an area and then withdraw like they did in the plains. So they're not necessarily, even though their motto is remaining and expanding, they're not necessarily going to attach the same importance to every piece of land. So, you know, they move around and depending on, I mean, of course, they're going to be more attached to Raqqa and Mosul than they are to, you know, some Assyrian village that they've just taken over and expelled all the inhabitants of. So I don't think it's very hard to say. I mean, the point is, without even talk of even defeating ISIS, as if that's you can only defeat an enemy that accepts loss, that accepts defeat. ISIS will never accept defeat. So, I mean, they can certainly be weakened on some levels, but that would require a level of cooperation and coordination and purpose that doesn't exist, and central authority that doesn't exist in Iraq or Syria.
There is a video of raw footage of these captives being taken away in cages on the back of pickup trucks. I mean, the drama ISIS plays with is really creepy. Have you seen this video?
No, I don't watch videos that ISIS make.
You don't see a need to watch for your own research into ISIS?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I know what's in the videos, and to me, it's really just pornographic. I mean, it doesn't help me understand anything, and I know that they're meant to be watched. So I don't wish to endorse that purpose.
Understood. So, meanwhile, hundreds of families have fled to the city of Hasaka. You mentioned Hasaka earlier. Is Hasaka a safe sanctuary for these people?
No, I mean, in a more profound sense, no. You know, the effect of being kicked out of where you live shouldn't be underestimated. I mean, it's psychologically, it's not just a case of somebody shows up to your house at 5, kicks you out, tries to abduct your daughter, and then once a group of 10 Kurds with Kalashnikovs says, okay, we secured the village again. You're not going to be like, well, okay, that seems reasonable. I mean, it's not going to be like that. Once you go back there, it's going to be booby trapped. Your sense of security is permanently gone. Not everybody's going to return. At most, there could be, let's say, a tenth or a fifth or a fourth of the village will be repopulated. There's not going to be life there. There's not going to be a community there. So these disfigurations are probably permanent. I mean, many of these demographic disfigurations are probably permanent.
So as far as these dozens of Assyrians who've been kidnapped by ISIS, what are your best hopes and worst fears at this point?
I think we all know what's happened to the other hostages that ISIS has taken. And I would say I'm more hopeful about the chances of the combined Kurdish and Assyrian forces to liberate those villages and to repel ISIS. I'm more confident of that than I am of the security of the hostages.
I mean, I know your group looks out for the well-being of these people, but I'm just wondering, do you have any position on if it comes to some kind of trade of hostages? What's your position on that?
Our position is that my position is that it's a routine aspect of war. Obviously, it goes without saying that, I mean, neither the Syrian regime nor especially, I suppose, the Islamic State, but the Syrian regime that doesn't care about, doesn't subscribe to any international treaties basically at all. Doesn't abide by these principles or covenants, but it is a routine aspect of war. And of course, Western states should negotiate for the release of the hostages. I mean, I refuse to accept that there's any legitimate reason for these innocent people to die in the appalling manner that so many other hostages of the Islamic State have died. So yes, I mean, I demand and I'm calling for as strong and as assertive action as possible to secure the release of the hostages.